preaching and teaching Christ from all of Scripture. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Why is spiritual leadership so important? What has God put in place to be a blessing for you in the Church of Jesus Christ? All throughout the epistles and the letters of the New Testament, we find that the Lord wants godly men set apart, elders and deacons and pastors, to help us and to lead us in His will and in His ways. This office of elder we're going to look at today goes all the way back to the Old Testament, where the Lord put this in place out in the wilderness for Israel, that it might be a blessing to them in their journey to the promised land. I hope this is a help to you today to understand why God put this in place so that you may grow in your faith and in your love for Christ Jesus. Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. As always, we invite you to visit us on the web at agradio.org, agradio.org. Download the podcast, write to us. We'd love to hear from you. You can also find us on Facebook, or you can call us at 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. And we are so thankful for all of your support for Abounding Grace Radio. Here is now the program that we're airing for the next few days from Exodus chapter 18, which I have titled God's Gift of Leadership. And I hope and pray this is a blessing to you today. Thanks for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio. One of the things that we have wanted to recover is a very positive view of spiritual leadership in the life of the church that the Lord has put in place to be of help to you in your wilderness journey, as we've seen all these connections to the life as we are heading to the eternal promised land. Maybe you sit here sometimes and you see all these guys walk out of the door. If you're new here and you think that seems a little strange, you know, here come these guys. And I tell them, smile when you're walking out, you know, it looks good. But in early Protestant churches, maybe you didn't know, and I've preached in some of these churches, it still goes on today, that they would have a sort of panel of where the elders would sit right off to the side. It looked a little bit similar to a jury bench. And they would sit there, and then afterward they would come up, they would shake my hand, which sort of signified that they agreed with what was said in the sermon. But we've lost an appreciation for the office today. It's just true, isn't it? That it's a little bit mysterious to us. It's a little bit, you know how we respond to authority structures in our day. Maybe it just reflects the spirit of our times, where we're living with constant frustration with leadership, and so we're taught this. We're expected sort of to have this today. I agree. There seems to be no respect anymore for the positions. But this morning, we have shown to us the intention of the office of elder. We have shown to us how things are to function, this age-old office that's set before us, and why it's so needed, why God put this in place for you, why the Lord and the New Testament writers understood that this same office continued in the New Testament, as Paul said, you should appoint elders in every city. In every church in the cities. One of the things you've noticed now for weeks as we've been working through Exodus and we've been looking at their struggle in the wilderness is this tension that has been in place between Moses and the people. And it's a strong tension. Moses was the prophet appointed by the Lord to lead them out. And let's be honest, they've not really appreciated him. It's been kind of sad if you think about it. He has no control over where Israel is going. In other words, it's the Lord directing their steps, directing their paths to the wilderness and the way that they should go. And
And he didn't know how hard exactly it would be, what kind of trials, what kind of tests, what sort of things would happen out in the wilderness. Moses is called to lead the people through it, to trust in the Lord and guide them in the way, to speak the word of the Lord. And in chapter 17, they wanted to stone him. They wanted him gone, which we understand was a sort of direct lashing out at God's leadership. They weren't happy with the way things were going. And we're going to see that when they get to Sinai and they come down. Where is this God that supposedly led us out? Let's make our own God. Well, this morning we see something, again, wonderful that the Lord does for Israel. He provides them a remedy to this conflict that was going on between Israel and Moses. In fact, there's that crucial statement made in the text. You'll notice down in verse 23, through Jethro, which is just interesting how the Lord spoke through this man and how the Lord often works and does these things. But you'll notice here, if you do this thing as God so commands, then you will be able to endure and all this people will go to their place in peace. Well, wouldn't you love to go to the promised land in peace? How much peace existed in the wilderness for Israel? God is about to put something in place, which if you understand it, it's a further gift to Israel. This is a further benefit to Israel. This is another blessing out of his kindness and storehouse of his mercies that he is giving them the gift of godly leadership. This was God's answer to them to enjoy peace. If they didn't respect that, if they didn't honor that, if the leadership abandoned what God put in place here, there would be pain, there would be anger, there would be chaos. In fact, if you ever look at church divisions and church splits, look at what happened to the leadership. Look at what happened in the conflicts and the problems of the people and the leadership. Well, now the Lord, through Jethro, corrects and helps and introduces something that would be of great benefit to Israel as they traveled. And you'll notice here we have the basic principles beginning here of spiritual leadership and spiritual authority. As we go through this, I want to answer this morning why it's so important that we listen to the Lord, why it's so important that we understand how he wants his church governed and his people governed, and that we give ourselves to appreciate this office and submit to those whom God has put over us, because it's God's way of ruling us through them. This is what the Heidelberg says in the fifth commandment. We should be patient with our leadership and bear with them in their faults, for God has so chosen to rule us through these men. It's an amazing thing. To do otherwise, as we shall see, has devastating consequences on the spiritual well-being of you and your children. I've always said that if you look at children who are bitter at the church or have left the church, typically what you will find are parents who sat there and criticized the leadership at the kitchen table or the pastor or the message, and it was so ingrained in the children, they want nothing more to do with it. So we have to value this and understand what God put in place for our benefit. God has shown us his faithfulness in the scene. He has fulfilled another promise that he made. He told Moses back in Exodus chapter 3 that one of the signs he would give to Moses is that they would come back and it would be a sign that they would worship at Mount Sinai. That would be a fulfillment of the promise. That drove Moses through this. So here they are. Moses has come to Sinai. A worship service is about to happen. You'll see that in chapter 20 where the Lord comes down. And you'll notice here that this was last time we left off, Moses was with Jethro worshiping. That was evening. The next morning, they get up and Moses has been up early and Jethro observes something that really bothers him. We read in verse 13 that Moses sat to judge the people, and all the people stood around Moses from morning until evening. Everyone knew that Moses was God's prophet, and as a prophet, he revealed the will of God. Now, you take 2 million people, what do you think is going to happen along the way in the wilderness? Well, you're going to have a lot of problems with people. I mean, we have 500 and there are problems. Imagine a couple million. People are not going to get along. You read through Numbers, you find that fistfights happened in the camp. You find that people's animals actually killed other people. There were issues of divorce. There were issues of adultery. You had racial tensions with these Egyptians who had come out with them. You remember some of that went on. You had problems with the youth, the rebellious children. You had people who got sick. They needed care. You had all these basic needs of a couple million people traveling through the wilderness way. I mean, can you imagine all the pastoral needs that were there? And then there are just basic issues of justice among brothers that needed to be dealt with. Remember, Moses is revealing the laws here of the Lord, but nothing had been written down yet. We didn't have the sort of penal code written. You're going to have a lot of this given here in chapter 21 through 25. You're going to see a lot of that provided. But here they are. The system and the elders have not even been put in place yet. Is this a good situation? What if these men weren't here? What if they didn't walk out? What if you didn't have them? Well, you get some real sense of what would go on here. People wanted answers. People wanted care. They wanted their needs met. That's the big issue here in Exodus chapter 18. There were no policemen in the camp. So what happened is that day and night they would come, and they would come to Moses. And Moses would sit on a great judgment seat out in the wilderness, a rock, and he would arbitrate, and he would make decisions, and he would intercede, and he would go to the Lord and discern the will of God. And Jethro comes, and he watches all of this, and he says in verse 14, when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he was doing for the people, he said, "What is this that you're doing? Why do you sit alone? And all the people stand around you from morning until evening." Jethro's rebuking here. It's really pretty strong. You're standing here and you're judging all the people. This is not right. This is not good. I've really appreciated looking at Exodus 18 and the beautiful relationship that Moses had with his father-in-law. We looked at last time, they both went in the tent here, and you had a sort of early picture of the promise even to Noah. Remember that Shem and Japheth would come into the tent, and here they are in the tent, and here's this Gentile coming into the tent. It's a picture of the whole gospel program going out to the nations we looked at last time. But here Jethro, the Lord uses Jethro to speak, and Moses has a wonderful sort of relationship with his father-in-law. God uses Jethro. Think about this. Israel was supposed to be a blessing to the nations. God uses Jethro to in turn bless Israel. Sounds a little bit like Romans 11, by the way. Just wonderful. Moses says to Jethro, "Well, all these people come to inquire of me." Verse 16, "When they have a dispute, they come to me and I decide between one person and another and I make them know the statutes of God and the laws." Moses was such an honorable man. He was such a humble man. He genuinely loved these people. Genuinely, sincerely. He gave his life for these people. This is a servant. Jethro observed something that Moses couldn't see. Moses' father-in-law says to him, "Listen, what you're doing is not good. You and the people will certainly wear yourselves out, for the thing is too heavy for you. You're not able to do it alone." Now, what is about to happen is the defining sort of the shepherd's role, the elder's role. And I wonder if, as a father-in-law, he was concerned about his own daughter and children. Right? You wonder. The work of Moses, what he was doing, was so overwhelming and so burdensome to carry all these burdens. Moses was burning out. Jethro sees it. And he says, this is an interesting twist in the whole thing, the people are burning out. No man could do what Moses was doing. It's interesting what he observes. Both of you are going to wear yourselves out. In other words, if you keep this up, not only are you going to burn out, but the people are going to wear themselves out with you. Why? Because they are going to be maintaining an expectation of ministry that you cannot achieve. You can't. What happens when everyone is in line expecting from Moses? They can't, when many of them at the back can't see him, and you know, just go stand in the post office line for a while. You get angry. Imagine standing there, long lines all day of people with grievances and problems. Moses can't bear it. You know, it's a general rule. I know there are exceptions. I know it's not always true, but most pastors, and I've come across a lot of pastors' kids, a lot of PKs in the ministry, and most say the same thing. Dad was not around. He was out every night. Our family suffered for it. I think about that a lot. That burdens me greatly. It really does. Maybe that's why some PK's kids end up with a lot of problems. Moses was overwhelmed with the work. Overwhelmed. Here you're able to get behind the scenes a little bit, and we have some insight that what was actually happening was a lot of dissatisfaction. What needed to be defined, what needed to be appreciated in Israel were the expectations and the roles of leadership. The expectations of Moses and the expectation of the people. Really important here. Jethro observes both of this going on. Because you'll notice here that unreasonable expectations are expressed not only by Moses, but the people for Moses. In other words, Moses thought he could do more than he could do, and the people expected him to do more than he could do. What a dilemma. What a real dilemma. Does that apply to today? Any sincere servant of the Lord goes through endless guilt over this. I mean it. It's guilt. You always feel that you're never doing enough. In fact, most people stay away from the office of elder for that very reason. Gifting aside, a lot stay away because they feel like I just could never maintain doing that. And then you have the problem of what happens today in the church. You have the problem of what happens today that pastors typically become one-man shows. They micromanage everything. I don't know how many times I've come to people in the community, they talk to me, and they think I'm a CEO over here at the Escondido URC. I tell them I'm not a CEO. But if a church has been used to really, in the past, strong dominees, what happens? The people can easily become too expectant of their pastor. I was just, consider for a moment, reoccurring statistics and challenges of pastoral ministry. And the top two reasons pastors leave the ministry is burnout and moral failure. More than 70% of pastors have no close friends to talk with. 80% of pastors believe the ministry has negatively affected their families. Pastors often claim of having no means themselves for resolving conflict. At any given time, 75% of pastors want to quit over severe stress that causes depression, fear, and alienation, among other things. 80% of pastors and 84% of their spouses face depression. 90% of pastors work more than 60 hours a week. I work more than one day. I said that so that you would laugh. If around 90% of pastors are worn out and frequently fatigued, who's overseeing their time? Who's overseeing their priorities? Who's overseeing ministerial expectations? Who's overseeing that they are not being overextended in expectations beyond their primary calling to give themselves to this? Who's doing that? If burnout due to conflict, is one of the top reasons pastors leave the ministry, how are pastors being shepherded to prevent this falling out? As these statistics reveal, who's overseeing what is clearly an intense spiritual struggle going on in the life of the pastor and his family? Have we given any thought to this? See why I said it's instructional for us. Any pastor knows this, that if he at all fears the Lord and desires to do his will, the question is, what has the Lord called him to do? Really, really presses. And it's something that after 12 years of being a pastor, I still feel like at times, am I doing enough? Why do I struggle with feeling like I don't fully have that defined? Still! The fact is that in the life of any given church, everyone has needs. So many of you have needs. And all these are challenges that we face. God cares for you. God loves you. God desires to help his flock in the midst of this wilderness journey. I mean, this is the real shining factor here is the Lord's care for the flock. We have a conflict here of the pastor's understanding of his calling versus the people's expectation of the calling when the expectations are beyond what the Lord has given. Well, what's happened in Israel? They have worn themselves out already. You are worn out with frustration. And nothing is accomplished except burnout on the part of the pastor and bitterness on the part of the people. So what is Jethro observing? Jethro's observing what an answer and thinking through the answer here as the Lord is guiding him in using means and in his providence to guide Jethro to provide Moses an answer to this. And he does that in verse 19. He provides a beautiful answer in verse 19. Now obey my voice and I will give you advice. Which is really a remarkable thing to do when you think about it, where this Gentile who's believed in this chapter is now doing this for Israel. God will be with you if you do this, Moses. You shall represent the people before God and bring their cases to God, and you shall warn them about the statutes and the laws and make them know the way in which they must walk and what they must do. He just defined the role of a shepherd. Three things. Did you notice the shift here? What did Jethro notice? You're standing before the people day and night. You go and stand before God. You see that? You go to him. You go intercede. You go pray. Bring the difficulties directly to him. Far better than just sitting and listening to all these problems and trying to fix everything and being just the great counselor. Here's what you should do. There's a lot of sin that easily ensnares people. Moses, go be an intercessor. Then he says something else. And you shall teach them the statutes and the laws of the Lord. You must guide them in teaching. Did you hear him just define the responsibility? Does any of this sound familiar? Pray, preach and teach the word. Instruct them in the ways, show them, let your life be an example, that's emphasized here, of how to walk and the work they must do. And I would suggest that at this point, what all that revealed is that the people were just too dependent on Moses for answers. Think about that. I recently heard someone say, well, I just don't want to think when I have to come to church. And I think that's exactly been the problem. Everyone just needs the list of what to do. Hand it to me, Pastor. Tell me. Is that healthy? It's easy that way, I suppose. You don't have to pray. You don't have to study. You don't have to think. You can just sort of have it all right here for you. And you can live through the CEO. It's sort of easy. What the Lord was calling Moses to do was give himself to teach, apply the word yes, live it before them, and pray. That by learning the word of God, as they learned it, they would grow. They would be able to exercise wisdom. They would understand wisdom and prudence. They would pray to the Lord. We'll look more at that later. This was always the responsibility of the shepherd. In fact, this was Paul's very charge to Timothy. If we're putting this all together, this was Paul's very charge to Timothy. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear. You don't need to be out everywhere. Take heed to your life. Take heed to your doctrine. Give yourself in those things, and it will have a great benefit to the spiritual life of the people, and you will save both yourself and those who hear you. What a remarkable verse. There's a connection there between the means God chose to use as they're faithfully administered and your salvation.
Thank you for listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace.